Hello and welcome to episode number 110 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. I'm Steve Webb and I'm your host. Today we'll read Numbers 22, Luke 17, and Psalm 32 from the Common English Version. Numbers chapter 22. Israel moved from there to the hills of Moab, where they camped across the Jordan River from the town of Jericho. When King Balak of Moab and his people heard how many Israelites there were, and what they had done to the Amorites, he and the Moabites were terrified and panicked. They said to the Midianite leaders, "That huge mob of Israelites will wipe out everything in sight, like a bull eating grass in a field." So King Balak sent a message to Balaam, son of Beor, who lived among his relatives in the town of Pethor, near the Euphrates River. It said, "I need your help. A large group of people has come here from Egypt and settled near my territory. They're too powerful for us to defeat. So would you come and place a curse on them? Maybe then we can run them off. I know that anyone you bless will be successful, but anyone you curse will fail." The leaders of Moab and Midian left and took along money to pay Balaam. When they got to his house, they gave him Balak's message. "Spend the night here," Balaam replied, "and tomorrow I will tell you the Lord's answer." So the official stayed at his house. During the night, God asked Balaam, "Who are these people at your house?" "They're messengers from King Balak of Moab," Balaam answered. "He sent them to ask me to go to Moab and put a curse on the people who have come there from Egypt. They have settled everywhere around him, and he wants to run them off." But God replied, "Don't go with Balak's messengers. I have blessed those people who have come from Egypt, so don't curse them." The next morning, Balaam said to Balak's officials, "Go on back home. The Lord says I cannot go with you." The officials left and told Balak that Balaam refused to come. Then Balak sent a larger group of officials, who were even more important than the first ones. They went to Balaam and told him that Balak had said, "Balaam, if you come to Moab, I'll pay you very well and do whatever you ask. Just come and place a curse on these people." Balaam answered, "Even if Balak offered me a palace full of silver or gold, I wouldn't do anything to disobey the Lord my God. You're welcome to spend the night here, just as the others did. I will find out if the Lord has something else to say about this." That night, God said, "Balaam, I'll let you go to Moab with Balak's messengers, but do only what I say." So Balaam got up the next morning and saddled his donkey, then left with the Moabite officials. Balaam was riding his donkey to Moab, and two of his servants were with him. But God was angry that Balaam had gone. So one of the Lord's angels stood in the road to stop him. When Balaam's donkey saw the angel standing there with a sword, it walked off the road and into an open field. Balaam had to beat the donkey to get it back on the road. Then the angel stood between two vineyards, in a narrow path with a stone wall on each side. When the donkey saw the angel, it walked so close to one of the walls that Balaam's foot scraped against the wall. Balaam beat the donkey again. The angel moved once more and stood in a spot so narrow that there was no room for the donkey to go around, so it just lay down. Balaam lost his temper, then picked up a stick and whacked the donkey. When that happened, the Lord told the donkey to speak. And it asked Balaam, "What have I done that made you beat me three times?" "You make me look stupid," Balaam answered. "If I had a sword, I'd kill you here and now." "But you're my owner," answered the donkey. "And you've ridden me many times. Have I ever done anything like this before?" "No," Balaam admitted. Just then, the Lord let Balaam see the angel standing in the road, holding a sword, and Balaam bowed down. The angel said, "You had no right to treat your donkey like that. I was the one who blocked your way because I don't think you should go to Moab. If your donkey had not seen me and stopped those three times, I would have killed you and let the donkey live." Balaam replied, "I was wrong. I didn't know you were trying to stop me. If you don't think I should go, I'll return home at once." "It's all right for you to go," the Lord's angel answered, "but you must say only what I tell you." So Balaam went on with Balak's officials. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went to meet him at the town of Ir on the Arnon River, which is the northern border of Moab. Balak asked, "Why didn't you come when I invited you the first time? Did you think I wasn't going to pay you? I'm here now, Balaam answered, but I will say only what God tells me to say. They left and went to the town of Kiriath-Huzoth, where Balak sacrificed cattle and sheep and gave some of the meat to Balaam and the officials who were with him. The next morning, Balak took Balaam to the town of Bamoth-Baal. From there, Balaam could see some of the Israelites. Luke chapter 17. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will always be something that causes people to sin, but anyone who causes them to sin is in for trouble. A person who causes even one of my little followers to sin would be better off thrown into the ocean with a heavy stone tied around their neck. So be careful what you do. Correct any followers of mine who sin, and forgive the ones who say they are sorry. Even if one of them mistreats you 7 times in one day and says, 'I am sorry,' you should still forgive that person." The apostles said to the Lord, "Make our faith stronger." Jesus replied, "If you had faith no bigger than a tiny mustard seed, you could tell this mulberry tree to pull itself up, roots and all, and to plant itself in the ocean, and it would. If your servant comes in from plowing or from taking care of the sheep, would you say, 'Welcome, come on in and have something to eat?' No, you wouldn't say that. You would say, 'Prepare me something to eat. Get ready to serve me so I can have my meal. Then later on you can eat and drink.' Servants don't deserve special thanks for doing what they're supposed to do, and that's how it should be with you. When you've done all you should, then say, 'We are merely servants, and we have simply done our duty.'" On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men with leprosy came toward him. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Jesus looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." On their way, they were healed. When one of them discovered that he was healed, he came back, shouting praises to God. He bowed down at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. The man was from the country of Samaria. Jesus asked, "Weren't 10 men healed? Where are the other 9? Why was this foreigner the only one who came back to thank God?" Then Jesus told the man, "You may get up and go. Your faith has made you well." Some Pharisees asked Jesus when God's kingdom would come. He answered, "God's kingdom isn't something you can see. There is no use saying, 'Look, here it is,' or 'Look, there it is.' God's kingdom is here with you." Jesus said to his disciples, "The time will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not. When people say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here,' don't go looking for him. The day of the Son of Man will be like lightning flashing across the sky. But first he must suffer terribly and be rejected by the people of today. When the Son of Man comes, things will be just as they were when Noah lived. People were eating, drinking, and getting married right up to the day when Noah went into the big boat. Then the flood came and drowned everyone on earth. When Lot lived, people were also eating and drinking. They were buying, selling, planting, and building. But on the very day Lot left Sodom, fiery flames poured down from the sky and killed everyone. The same will happen on the day when the Son of Man appears. At that time, no one on a rooftop should go down into the house to get anything. No one in a field should go back to the house for anything. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. People who try to save their lives will lose them, and those who lose their lives will save them. On that night, 2 people will be sleeping in the same bed, but only 1 will be taken. The other will be left. 2 women will be together grinding wheat, but only 1 will be taken. The other will be left." Then Jesus' disciples spoke up, "But where will this happen, Lord?" Jesus said, "Where there is a corpse, there will always be vultures." Psalms chapter 32. Our Lord, you bless everyone whose sins you forgive and wipe away. You bless them by saying, "You told me your sins without trying to hide them, and now I forgive you." Before I confessed my sins, my bones felt limp, and I groaned all day long. Night and day your hand weighed heavily on me, and my strength was gone as in the summer heat. So I confessed my sins and told them all to you. I said, "I'll tell the Lord each one of my sins." Then you forgave me and took away my guilt. We worship you, Lord, and we should always pray whenever we find out that we have sinned. Then we won't be swept away by a raging flood. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble, and you put songs in my heart because you have saved me. You said to me, I will point out the road that you should follow. I will be your teacher and watch over you. Don't be stupid like horses and mules that must be led with ropes to make them obey. All kinds of troubles will strike the wicked, but your kindness shields those who trust in you, Lord. And so your good people should celebrate and shout. May God bless the reading of His Word. Yesterday it was the King James Version, and today the Common English Version. Quite a contrast. If this were Sesame Street, I think I would say that today's chapter from Numbers was brought to you by the letter B. Balaam, Balak, Bamoth, Baal, Beor, lots of them. So seriously, what did you think about the situation with Balaam and God at first denying him permission to go see Balak, and then telling him it was okay to go, and then being mad that he did go? Were you confused by that? Is God a capricious God? Well, of course not. But I was confused too, so I did some digging, and here is what I found. Balak sent messengers first to ask Balaam to come and curse the Israelites, right? God told Balaam not to go, since he, God, had blessed them, the children of Israel. Then Balak didn't like that answer, so he got some more distinguished messengers and sent them back to talk to Balaam with the additional message that he, Balak, would confer great honor upon Balaam. In effect, Balak was attempting to bribe Balaam. Now, this appears to have been a bit of a temptation to Balaam, even though he said with his lips that even if Balak gave him enough silver and gold to fill a house, he couldn't do anything against what God had told him, because he told the messengers that he would see if God had anything else to say on the matter. So he appears to have been somewhat swayed or tempted by the offer. And this seems to be the crux of the matter. God told Balaam that the people were blessed. Why would he expect that God would say anything different about cursing people whom he had blessed? Why should he even have to go back and say, well, let me see what God will say this time? So here's what God said, and the version that we're reading today doesn't convey the original meaning very well. Commentators agree that when Balaam went back to God and asked for permission, what God really said was, if the men come to you, then you may go with them. Okay, so let's stop here for a moment. This is an important point. God allows us to do many things that He does not endorse, right? Sometimes He'll allow us to succumb to our own wicked and lustful hearts, right? He allows us, in effect, to touch the hot stove to see that it will burn us. Now, I can imagine Balaam laying in his bed that night, thinking how cool it was that these important visitors had come to his humble home. He felt important. And I can also imagine him laying there fantasizing about the honors that Balak would bestow on him once he arrived. He got to thinking perhaps about the palace full of silver and gold. So what happened next? Now remember, God said, if the men come to you, then you can go. What did happen was this. Balaam got up the next morning and saddled his donkey and went with the men. Scripture doesn't say when they came to get him, he went. It says he got up and went. It appears that he was too eager, that he didn't follow God's direction to the letter. Now remember, the reason that Balak sent for Balaam was so that Balaam would come and curse the Israelites, God's chosen people. God does not look with favor upon those who conspire to harm His people. And God does not look with favor on those who seek to gain favor with those who conspire to harm His people. So God became angry at Balaam. Does that help your understanding? Let me know. Steve@lifespringmedia.com or on the Lifespring Media Facebook page. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for being with me today. Tell a friend about the Lifespring Family Audio Bible. write a review at iTunes. Pray for me. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.